Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
System, so you're not there left wondering if you've got all the kids in the class or you're set up properly. It's all just there. And it's personalised, so you're not stuff that you're not meant to see or stuff that isn't relevant to what you're doing is not there, so it keeps it very slim. Having too much information is the same as having no information. It's if you've got this huge mass of intranet share folders and things where you can't find anything, you may as well have nothing at all. And that really comes on to study. Study was is really about making a system accessible to all students and all the teachers. If it's easy, I mean, you can engage top-end students with anything. Yet, whatever you ask them to do, they'll do it. You really want to be able to engage every single student there. And you want every teacher to be able to get onto a system like this to use it. So study was, I'm working as a teacher now. On the front page, remember, all the relationships are already set up for my student management system. So when I've... my latest e-bulletins here, they're all meant for me. I have to read them, so all this information on the latest on the page there, it doesn't matter what it is, I go in there, I know it's for me, I put it up and I can get more bulletins. It's a very slow internet connection. Yeah, I shouldn't press it.
These e-bulletins are imposed by someone else in the school?
It could be anything. It could be the principal sending out the e-bulletin to everyone in the school. It could be a teacher sending an e-bulletin to
within the community.
That's right, within the community. If you want to go into the community outside of that, there is the portal solution that can sit on top. It sort of blurs the line between the public and the private space, but it still has user authentication, so one person would see a much bigger view than someone who was on the outside who would just see a sort of the free area. One of the big things... The important things we think with any kind of system is that it's a simple three-click rule. So you should be able to get anywhere in a system in three clicks, because after that you'll start losing too many people. This should come very slow. The next thing I'm going to show you as it slowly comes up is the calendar. The calendar is, I don't know if you use iCal or anything, so the calendar is a series of layered calendars. So as a student, I have my personal calendar. As a teacher, I can make a calendar for my art class, my science class, my math class. And anyone who belongs to that class will have the calendar inserted in a layer. So you get a very rich personalized calendar built up for any particular individual student. And the student can turn off some calendars so they can just see their map homework, which is too busy. But when they log back in, everything will turn on again, so you're not missing anything or losing anything. Again, these are tools which they've become very intuitive for the student, and you're not making it complicated. They don't have to set anything up. They don't have to download an application or anything else.
Let me ask you this. What's that? Microsoft SharePoint, is that what the system's called?
Yeah.
So this is not duplicating or replicating anything that SharePoint would have?
There's crossovers. So a couple of things that SharePoint does, like discussions and so on. We have discussions.
Sure.
And
what about the calendar feature?
And calendars. But one of the things that's, I guess, the major difference is this is more targeted down to individuals. So with SharePoint, it's very easy for
the school
to post out a school-wide calendar.
Yeah.
Right. It's a lot harder. So I'll give you a simple example. In this, you create an assignment for the student and set a due date. The assignment due date will automatically populate the study's calendar, so the students see on their calendar their individual assignment.
Based on the emails or based on the login address that you've chosen to send it to?
Yeah, so that's one of the things. The other is, to give you sort of the big picture, Microsoft's actually paying us to do the integration between SharePoint and StudyWiz.
So you're going to be an add-on or kind of... I didn't want you to go through the presentation. I wanted to gear towards this kind of thing so we know the
company. Exactly.
Because that's actually easy, isn't it?
Basically,
this computer should be in the same
about how they run this
running. Yeah, you ever heard of a product called Class Server? That was the thing Microsoft used to produce, which was essentially a virtual learning environment. piece.
So you got a problem with
that. Pretty much do the same thing. Microsoft dropped support for that. That was their own product. And not providing that as a sort of an in-house app. And instead they're saying, well, you know, go work with third parties because there's a lot out there. And they see us as a strategic partner, if you like, you know, which is why they're paying us to do it. Uh-huh. So the kinds of things, like I was saying, it's really about one of the best examples is you as a teacher being able to do things quickly in an ad hoc way. So posting out stuff to a team of students that are working together today, creating a collaboration space in an ad hoc manner. So you've got these three kids sitting at the front of the class that are working on Project X, you know, set them up a big gallery and away they go. Then very much about the tracking and reporting. So you can see, okay, which kids have looked at their homework assignments. They're the kind of, it's that level of reach, you know, a one-to-one for each individual student that something like SharePoint doesn't do. And it wasn't designed to do that as a portal.
Okay.
You know? So it helps sort of describe the differences between the two. We've seen lots of schools that try and use SharePoint as a virtual learning environment, and that's not really what it's geared to do. So, yes, you can use it as a school intranet, which is fine for posting out things like messages and stuff like that. But like I say, when you want to engage the students and provide a safe sandbox or a dynamic learn space for them, this is really what this is geared to.
Have you ever heard of Edline?
No, I haven't.
We're going to get away from that one, and we're going to move to a local-based one.
Right.
I think they're going to try to use SharePoint. And that's what I was wondering. If you were to talk to our director, you could actually go and knowing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. But they're good questions because I think it's really important to understand the differences between the two.
Sorry, I didn't sabotage your...
Oh, not at all. The whole point of these sessions really is to allow whoever comes along to them to see to interact and sort of really sort of look in the air. But it's a huge product. I could spend 3 or 4 hours going from one end to the other and without going over the same thing twice. But it's really about the core area. We've got latest emails as well. One of the things with the internal messaging service are things like you can select the class, select parents from that class, and you automatically get a list of parents from that class and you just send a message to them. So it's about handover. It's about where the tech side sets everything up for you, and then as a teacher comes in, they don't need to know anything or do anything, you just go in and pick up the right area and sort of go off from there. When a student leaves.
Is the platform independent?
Yes.
Okay.
Browser independent. It's also based, it's all online. It's all through browser, so you haven't got any application issues. If someone's on a little e-machine, or even Jeff is going to come up and show you the iPod. We can have a look at Jeff's iPod with some of the functionality on there as well.
Yeah, the iPhone, you mean?
Yeah.
iPhone.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
It's all about integration. You can go online. It's the same one. You buy this, you get the mobile interface as well, and you get the primary interface, so you get all the interfaces which make it relevant to your school without, you know, having several different applications.
And it's locally based. We don't have to send up to some server outside of our school.
Nope. It's 7 years, so you sit at your DMZ. Yeah. So you've got it on your local, and then obviously parents and students. Parents have a separate account, so they get to see what their students are doing
True.
Without interfering with what the students are doing. Not that parents would ever do that, of course. Doing their kids' homework, or... Then the heart of StudyWiz is really pulling in all of those Web 2 technologies and capacities, discussions, chats, blogs, all that sort of thing, and creating an area where a teacher, without having to go and look for things, has all those tools inside the system itself. They can link to all these tools. You can embed pretty much all the Web 2 technologies out there in the resources here, but it's a controlled flow. So instead of having students go off and sign into accounts and sort of set up those different things, and again, application issues and everything else, all those things can be embedded in content that's delivered out as a digital handout.
I'm going to interrupt you again. So I think I'm getting the picture of how it works for communication. What about student submissions? We currently have drop folders and whatnot. Could you reflect those drop folders through the...
Well, I'm going to...
Absolutely.
There's different things here. There's shared e-loggers.
Okay.
Everything your current system does,
you
can replicate through here.
Oh, okay.
But the question is, why would you want to? I'll just explain how these things work. I'm not going to go in and show you all of this because it's better.
Okay.
Ridiculously slow.
Sure.
But basically, you've got e-lockers. Everyone gets an e-locker, which is basically a Dropbox, but it's online. It's
it's web dev enabled, so you can drag and drop into it. So you can set a local one up on your computer and drag and drop. But you've also got ShareDevOps, which gives the teacher the control to set a collaborative e-locker space. On an intranet, generally, it's the tech guys who set up a shared e-locker for anyone when you request it. Instead, it was a teacher who said, hey, I want to set a collaboration space for my year-nine science teachers. And they just go in as a resource, two clicks, and they've made a shared e-locker. It will populate. Instead of it being a huge mass that they go to, I think that's relevant to me. It's, again, just like the calendar. You've got their personal e-locker, but in their personal e-locker, they've got all their shared e-lockers that they're assigned to. Mm-hmm. So you've got that. But to me, that's a bit, it's got some fantastic capabilities, but it scares me when teachers, who, when you give them that, they suddenly drop back into the old ways of doing things and dropping things loosely into shared folders. StudyWiz also has all the tools, like your assignment tool, where you send assignments to your kids, they all send their submissions in, and then the teacher can bulk download them, mark them, or mark them online, depending on what the assignment was, if it was a Word document or something. Obviously, you can just take it offline and mark it. But as they can bulk download, and a lot of systems have this, but you have to download them one by one, download, mark, upload, download, mark, upload. This is one of the things that teachers come back to you and say, that bulk download is a phenomenal tool. I wasn't particularly aware when I first started selling StudyWiz that it was a feature at all, let alone something which was so important. But yeah, the capacity to bulk download and then just go through them as you mark them and then upload them. It uploads with the grades, with the comments and everything else. See, filling out the system without any sort of hassle. I will show you. Everything you see with an M, it means that not only do we have a mobile interface, but anything with an M, when you enter through the mobile interface, the actual resource itself is enhanced for the mobile space. So it's recognising those systems too. Some of these things, Jeff, I'm not really familiar with this demo, so.
Oh, where are you? You're on SEA,
aren't you? Yeah, that ticks the session board. Yeah. So you've got all your normal things like your discussion forums. Again, because StudyWiz is already set up, the class is set up, so 9A, you've got a 9A class and all the students are 9A in that class. When I, as a teacher, then have control over the micromanagement of that class. So I can make a group folder within that class just to break up four areas and have four discussions going on. I can have individual folders. So
and students can start discussions as well?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So if you have a particular class and you're on a particular topic, a student could actually start the discussion for the teacher.
Oh, no, sorry. At the moment, students don't actually create resources or create those. So what we call resources are things like discussions, chat, those kinds of things. So it's usually up to the teacher to provide that in the first instance. So they say, here's the free form.
Chucking a clavier here. There is a resource called Gallery Resource. Yes. The teacher, it's a bit, StudyWiz works very much like a school. You don't give the kids the key to this folder, but if a kid asks you to unlock a room so they can share and collaborate or whatever else, you unlock it and then
you invite them to participate.
Right. So you have that sort of.
So if you're in a section, you just open up a forum where you could ask questions on that particular topic.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. One of the things we do have a gallery resource, which I will put up. It's a very cool sort of web two tool. It's basically like YouTube. So it does everything that YouTube does, but you as a teacher can set it for a small group of students, the whole school, the class, whatever. And every time you set a gallery, it's an empty collaborative space. And students can then populate the space with whatever they want.
So it's a bit like YouTube. But the advantage with it, you know, I mean, a lot of schools will block YouTube because of, you know, issues with, well, not only bandwidth, but, you know, inappropriate content or whatever else. In this case, you can create any number of mini YouTubes. So you can say, I'm going to make a YouTube space for these guys to work together, and they can upload whatever they want. They can rate it, you know, or do all those kinds of things. It'll also do some really fun things like automatically generate podcasts of the content of the gallery. So I think probably the biggest thing, though, is the critiquing, you know, so peer assessment and so on. So a student can upload something, and any other student who has access to that gallery can then write reviews on, you know, what they've posted and stuff like that.
Allow me to give you a sales objection that you guys can overcome.
Yep.
At our school, the teachers currently feel that we're completely locked out, and students are too. We have no control over our folders. Yeah. And not only that, media, especially video, we're both video teachers, mm-hmm. film and video. Our bandwidth, we actually have to almost beg for permission, right, to get a different kind of video
in.
So this doesn't really solve it.
It does in many
ways. It does. What it does do is it actually provides, I mean, the whole concept for study was to do came about 8 years ago when a group of primary schools in Hong Kong asked for it. And one of the major things they wanted was the ability for the teachers to be in control, you know, for the teachers to actually have the keys to the car, so not have to go off to the administrator and say, hey, I want to set up a folder, or I want to set up a shared drive, or any of those things.
Can I jump in here and actually show you something?
Yeah.
Because what I've shown you here, study was meant to be easy. So you've got your left brainers and your right brainers, and you've got your students who just have no organisation skills whatsoever, and we have latest resources, which is what I've shown you so far. So it comes straight to them, it's pushed right to them. Push-based rather than something like Moodle, which is very much pull-based, the student has to go looking for what they're doing. But we also do have the organised, we have the classes listed, so students can go straight to their class itself. We go to Science 9A. I'm going to show you this because you'll see just how versatile the folder creation process is for the teachers. The teacher has a lot of control. The hard work's done for them. It's basically the tech guy on the back end, we build the school.
But he's going to be concerned about bandwidth and whatnot, right? And if every teacher's out there building folders that are allowed to have zin files of any kind of, they're worried about MP3 issues, meaning that all these big files.
Well, again, all those things are actually concerns and issues we've dealt with over the years. So we have, to give you an example, we have something like 3,500 system settings that can be tweaked to the individual school. So things like maximum file upload, things like quota management for the size of e-lockers, all of those things are actually determined by the administrators of the school in the first place. So they don't inhibit the teacher from still being able to create the sandbox and the free adult space and all those things. But what they do allow you to do is then, you know, pop up a message if the teacher's trying to upload a 3 gig video file saying, sorry, 2 gig, or, you know, go talk to the administrator about this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you can, in fact, go very granular with that, so you can actually set specific types of media that are allowed or not allowed as well.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that to get around as well.
Okay.
I think with a lot of these things, something like an LMS is definitely a long-term project as well. It's you're building a system where it's going to be quite slow in the first couple of years. And what I would say is, from what I've seen in China, Singapore, Australia, wherever you go, the bandwidth issues are becoming less and less of an issue. Bandwidth is becoming faster, it's becoming cheaper, and essentially in 5-10 years, I believe bandwidth will be next to nothing. And it's probably falling 4 or 5 times.
Yeah,
cost wise in Australia.
I mean, it's still very neat. You need to very much be aware of today. But the point is that it is changing. I mean, I was at a thing with Google the other week in Palo Alto, and they were saying that their assumption is that within 10 years, computer power will be infinite, storage will be infinite, bandwidth will be infinite. As far as for all practical intents and purposes, and it's it's where the market's going, kind of thing. Obviously we're not there yet, but.
I think in Japan 5 years ago I had 50 megabit connection to my house.
Really?
With unlimited downloads for $40 Australian bucks a month. Now I moved to Australia and pay 5 times as much for 40 times less.
Yeah.
So what's that? That's like a 200 times decrease. But now it's becoming a lot more. This is the landing page here. So when you go to the subject, you have a landing page, you have information pages that you can set on the left-hand side. So students have a focus of what they're meant to be doing. It could be a curriculum overview, it could be things to draw them into the subject. It could be a wiki embedded from external source here.
Okay.
So you can have, again, control. So you're not sending a kid off to a wiki site outside of the system. You're bringing it in and laying it up. So you have that system side controls, but also the capacity to embed other Web 2 technologies. And these are very, very easy to create, manipulate. Again, the idea is all teachers can use this. If you can use a Word document, you can essentially make an information page on the right-hand side for your students to land on. You can cut and paste. And one of the biggest things is a lot of people have PowerPoints and Word documents already made, and they don't want to necessarily do a lot else. So if you just cut and paste that directly into the landing page there, you've got yourself an instant
web presence, and it's an engaging tool for the students with no real time issues or waste of time. You make a Word document that's going to come up the page, or you put your content into the rich text editor and then decide where it's going to sit. If it's going to be the thing that opens up when the students land on the page or something they look for. Even this, we're talking to, we just had our user conference up at Shanghai, and everyone uses it differently. Everything in StudyWiz is, you can decide where things go as well. So this information page could be at the top where the students land, or it can be further down. You might want to highlight another area of the thing itself. I think this internet must be slammed in a 50K, 56K modem.
Are you on wireless? Are you on the cable there?
I'm actually on the Ethernet.
Yeah, I'm like the cable
station. Sure, you want to gears up to the screen.
Yeah, do you want to try, might be, it seems to be a lot faster on mine. Just on the wireless.
I can try it.
Yeah.
Actually, you need to grab it. But you don't need mine, mine's not bad either. I'll just leave it there and I'll turn around
for you. It's the usual thing with presentations, you know, it's like...
So are you using that computer?
Sorry?
What computer were you using?
I was using that one there, so if we could just...
switch this over.
Oh, you're going to use that one, huh?
Sorry?
You're going to use the cable?
Yeah.
The cable's just here, so...
Yeah. All right.
I need that in, yeah.
All that, all we were just saying about bandwidth will be infinite, you know, it ain't good now. Yeah. It does seem to be more of an issue in Shanghai, I've noticed. I mean, obviously, it's getting hammered.
Yeah, that's our director, how much we can get for it's expensive. And like,
really?
Oh, yeah. It's outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the internet, though, within the school?
There's no internet within the school, fine. We have, see, I don't know what it all expects.
Because that's one of the things that we do is we actually, this is typically installed on a server, particularly if you've got bandwidth issues getting out of the net, you put it on a server at the school.
Yeah.
And so it's accessible at home, you know, you just need to have it set up with firewalls and so on so that it can go out. Probably 80% of our schools use it that way, so they've got it sitting in situ at the school, and it's rocket fast, you know.
Well, they're going to try the same thing, so I think that's what the SharePoint to have. Everything needs to fill for that,
yeah.
So this will be
just
an add-on.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they have, I'm sure they've already thought out.
I'll just do detect displays for me.
Some kind of content management.
Of course, now changing over the internet scope to. Do you want to come in?
No, you can expect.
Do you want to use your computer?
It was working okay a minute ago, but.
It's gone bad now.
That's because two people run now. Hey, let me open up too.
Maybe we can stick with it. Mine's gone right up.
Has it?
Demonstration effect, whenever you want to demo something.
Okay, I think we'll jump back on the other one, at least it's going.
Yeah.
Well, it almost was. Mind you, that one was even starting to.
Remember Web Whacker? When you could take all your anything you wanted and you just graft it under.
Oh, yeah, actually, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Trouble was that works fine for static HTML pages. For,
that's right.
For
interactive
stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything you see there is being built on the fly.
Well, let's take a talk a few things. We've got the information page here, so you create different information areas. Going down from here, student progress, so we can look at the assessments they've got. And it's pretty cool because you can, at the end of the year, bring up a student, press on that student, we can see all of their grades and all of your comments for the year.
And where's that database kept? The part of yours?
So it's all part of studying this, yeah. I mean, the...
You guys have data, you have grade submissions?
Yes.
Oh. That's a whole other, I guess, another feature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I said, give me 3 or 4 hours, I'll take you for every one.
No, that's a great thing.
You're right, it's a very significant part of the system is the grade book, the tracking of the student results, the this is what I mean, probably the most significant difference between us and say something like Moodle. Moodle really is about much
more. Oh, yeah, no,
you know, this is about assessment, you know, assessment of learning, you know.
We're using a company called GradeQuick.
Right, right.
GradeQuick, which is integrated part of our admin plus.
Mm-hmm. How do you find it?
Is
it web-based?
Might be. We're not using a feature.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that we've, I guess part of our philosophy is... Absolutely. It's a very broad product study. It covers a lot of areas.
Well, you can talk to Russell about this. It's great.
I mean, what kind of, I guess in many ways it's frustrating often to see, like last night with all the presentations at the beginning, people going down such a narrow path. You've got thousands of Web 2 applications, but unless you tie them together, you're not going to get the massive teachers using it.
They have their own assessment tool, and so they have their own gradebook, assessment, and everything like that. So we wouldn't need gradebook.
Have a look at these. So we've got the assessment for some submissions here. Let's go to some of the 11, we're going to give you an idea. What's really... So we've been pushing for a while. We've always had this kind of dilemma of do we integrate with best of breed, or do we breed in-house and develop it ourselves? And I think in the past it's been where things, when we're in sort of core growth of the sort of the core area of a learning management system, it's been we've been more prone to have a sort of a linking feature. But StudyWiz itself is really great to encompass everything in the learning area, the learning space, and our new assessment tool with the learning matrices that you can put, matrices around any resource. So imagine a discussion resource where you can create a...
Oh, it does.
Imagine a discussion resource where you can put a learning matrix, and you can grade each student on their competencies, key competencies.
You guys need to get Russell.
Yeah.
He's a big component in this.
So even here, we've got the assessment report for one person. You can do it by activity. So you can go into the activity and look at all the students in the class and see what they've done. But you can also get the individual student up at the end of the year. This is an assessment. This is an assessment. So it's got the capacity to do any... So you can do any black and white testing. So anything where, multiple choice, multiple arts, that kind of thing. You can create pop quizzes.
You can create online forms.
Yeah. It's informative and
that's another thing. We have a splattering of teachers that are doing that, but we have nothing formal.
Yeah.
We don't have a concrete.
But A, being able to deliver them, and B, being able to report on them.
And then with every, for example, I know this is a very specific question, but let's say if I want to give a test and he wants to give a test,
yep,
could every student's test be different but the same?
Absolutely. Yes.
It could be randomized.
Yeah. So when you set it up, you have just a box you tick that says randomized, so you've got students sitting next to each other,
yeah,
not getting the same question at the same time.
And then they could even take it online, and then once they submit it.
It's all online.
Automatically. And the time can be set too, so it can be Tuesday 10 to 10:30,
Well, it's a shame we couldn't do a pilot of this, sir. I mean, it has to be all or nothing, right?
Sorry? We do have some schools that start up by buying a license for 300 students, which is the minimum license, and then set up.
Could be the whole high school most.
Sort of, wouldn't it?
We have 400 or 500
every year. I would say, in many ways, I won't say forget the pilot, because people love pilots, but look at Beijing BIS and ask about their sort of selection criteria, because I went up and presented them at the board level board. Done for Shanghai, Beijing, especially the Beijing one. WAP's been using it for a while, but they lost their leadership, as you probably know,
WAP was using.
WAP still just about are using it, but when John McBride left, actually John's just bought it for his new school in Indonesia.
Oh, he did?
He
still believes in it. What's WAP doing now then with this? I mean, are they letting it die, or are they...
They're not letting it. They're running it for the middle years. The middle years. The study business does require a bit of leadership. It's like anything. Yeah. If you just chuck a tool out there and you don't train people, and you don't sort of point them to it, you don't say that this is where the assessments go, this is where the assignments go. When you have that sort of mentality or approach to something, it's not going to work. You do need to get buy-in by people, and you have to have the leadership. The leadership has to be happy that there is some... that you want the product for a reason.
Because this represents institutional change.
Yeah.
Is really what it represents.
So far everything you've talked about is exactly what we're doing. But whether the leadership would be, and the leadership in this particular case, a key person is Russell, mm-hmm, and he can tell you what the rest of the administration would think. But this is right up the alley,
mm-hmm,
of what ISB's either doing, but just with a different tool.
Is he at the conference?
Yeah, of course. We need to talk to him.
Yeah. We're in here. There was someone in here the whole of the conference. We've got unconference casual chat sessions, and we've got this semi-formal presentation for each of the sessions. So anytime you want to drop in, basically.
The thing is, I don't know if I went and told him, if I told him that he should talk to you guys, he might run the other way. I don't know what his attitude would be.
But to be honest, it's a lot of people do that. People who have a very fixed idea of what they want.
Well, the first thing is, first of all, when he walked into the job, he already walked in with SharePoint. He inherited it.
Right.
Not that he would have selected himself. He may not have.
Yeah.
But he did inherit it. And it was supposed to have been unveiled his first year there. He's now in the third year, and it hasn't been unveiled because it has been to his liking. So he might, I don't know. You guys need to talk to him.
Well, it's definitely worth having a chat. Yeah. You know, absolutely.
This is definitely what I have.
It's actually cheaper than most people imagine. It's got to be cheaper than what we've already invested.
How about that?
Yeah. SharePoint's. but I think the biggest thing is the cost is almost an irrelevance, to be perfectly honest. You know, because it's much more about the investment in what we call success management, you know, and the professional development and the training and all those things, because it's absolutely critical that the teachers know what this can do. And, we've been doing this for the last 8 years, you know. We've got 2,000 schools now around the world using the system. You know, in particular in places like the UK, where we've seen the best take up of this, it's been where the leadership and the sort of senior management team have been on board in terms of rolling this out. And obviously, you know, the curriculum guys get it straight away.
Yeah.
You know, but it then becomes more a question of so how are we actually going to use this thing? In the US, we've got the whole of the state bank is using the system, just to give you some examples of some of the different
I think I've heard of it through WAB because I have some friends who work there. And then, actually, last year you had a table. Did you have a table?
Yes.
And I went by the table, and then I went home and I did research on it, and I was very impressed. But then I'm not a decision maker.
It's come a long way since last year as well. And one of the things I've said, whatever system you're choosing, it's got to be dynamic.
Yeah,
it's got to be constantly evolving because what was cutting edge a year ago is old hat.
Yeah.
A year later, blogs. You can get very excited about blogs, but they're not really new technology. They're actually quite old technology now. Same with discussions and everything else.
Yeah.
It's how you use them. It's how you bring them into the mix. Lots of more things. I mean, e-portfolios. Students keeping track of their work as they move forward. Through the years with evidences and collections and publishing.
We actually have that as a graduation requirement, that they have to do that.
We've just got we've just been awarded the South Australia e-portfolio mandate for their SACE program, which is the high school graduation certificate.
Okay.
So what they have there is a capacity.
We built our own in-house one last year, and we could have used yours. You probably didn't have last year, but we built our own.
We had an e-portfolio last year, but it wasn't as robust as all the year.
Alright, there's other people we can talk to, but Russ would be the key point person for this.
Yeah. We're finding it this way.
Yeah, for sure.
We're impressed, but we don't have any...
You're preaching to the choir, but this is actually, I needed to actually tell him about it, because in all essence, it could help him if he wasn't already set on something.
Yeah, well, exactly, and I mean, I think even if he's already set on something, it's really a question of... how far down the road is he? And just sort of have a bit of a chat and say, look, do you have a big team?
Here?
Yeah, do you have a big ICT team?
Oh, yeah. It's bigger than I see most schools.
Because we also, because we're fully supported.
And they're here, by the way.
Really they really lightens the
I wonder if my mom's here. Jackson's here. Jackson's here for sure. I believe our team is here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's really, I mean, you really do what you say, Jeff. Half a tech.
Yeah, like in terms of technical support, about the only thing that we need the tech guys to do at the school is two things: open up the firewall so we can tunnel in and do the installation, plug in a box for us, it meets the minimum spec for the server, and then we work with them to get the data out of the student management system. Whatever it is you might be using.
They use AD. We also have for Apple as well, so we will.
Right. Yeah. So the point is, thereafter, there's nothing.
So we set up.
They actually just did the same thing with Apple. So they let Apple just do the same thing.
So you just come in there. Yeah. Thanks very much. Set and forget. It's a black box as far as the school's concerned.
Oh, okay.
So your tech guys are worried about keeping your network running and that, and they're not worried about trying to keep studies up. And any of your ICT teachers are just worried about teaching rather than messing about with changing configuration.
Well, if I were you, I'll see if I can point Russell. Is this going to be your base?
Yeah, we've got a tech down there. Or this is going to be. There's always going to be someone in here for any of the.
And then he has a key point person who's actually been doing the Microsoft SharePoint. I don't know that he's here or not, but he might balk at it just because it's not Microsoft.
Yeah. Well,
Microsoft is very.
They're your partner. If they're your partner, then that's a good.
Which is actually pretty surprising because it's all based on Java. Technology, which of course is not Microsoft technology.
Yeah, right.
But the main reason that Microsoft's supporting it is because we've got so much market share in the UK, and they can see that there's a really strong sort of value add, by being able to offer it to it. So yeah, it's cool.
Well, I'm glad we stumbled in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's a great tool, it really, really is. And this is exactly what we're supposed to be promised.
Are you guys, actually, one question, do you do K through 12?
And we're PC, what we call EC, Early Childhood 3.
So well, you're going to love this. This is something that Moodle and those things don't even come close to. Just show
primary is you can see we're logging in from the same area.
Yeah, oh,
exactly. There's only one deployment.
You what?
So within the one deployment, you get primary, you get standard, you get mobile. And Jeff might like to show you the...
I'm sorry, what's primary?
So
I don't get
it. So jump in the primary interface, go into that one and just use... do you want me to do it, Mark? Use PS21. Password is 21.
So this is a typical teacher login?
This is
student teacher and parents are all the same view, because one thing we find is you need that... that peer help network, and if everyone's got a different view, it's hard to support. It's hard to. Did it say?
You can't type status. Try again. There you go.
I'm going to kick him out for the next session.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm in the peanut gallery at the back, I know.
Yeah. But what's your guys' function?
I'm the owner of the company.
Oh,
are
you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I can't tell you to shut up now.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Well, so I'm the founder and CEO. We've got a whole bunch of shareholders and stuff now as well. So it's not really
there is a guy named Richard Redeker in America who owned Admin Plus.
Oh, okay.
And he would be a guy that you should...
Is he here as well? Is he?
No, probably not. Right. No, he wouldn't be here. He'll be at the... he goes to the Iroquois Administration Conference. Is that
okay?
I'm the director for Asia Pacific.
Okay, so is that already done, the Iroquois Administration Conference?
Yeah.
It's finished? Or is
no, it's in Kota Kinabalu in November.
You need to see Richard will be there. Richard Redeker.
Yeah.
He's there.
I know Richard.
Okay, well, this is a guy that...
they got a student management system. They run a student management
system. Admin Plus.
But they're the ones who took on these third-party packages, such as Jackson and Great Lakes.
Right.
And then Edline is another one that they... there's some other ones.
Yeah.
But then they either buy the company or they partner with them.
Okay, we're not for sale, but we'll talk to them.
Well, they're...
Then again, everything's for sale with the right price, but yeah.
There you go.
So primary interface, so this is, we said, you already have the same system, but this is obviously geared towards...
I'm sorry, I missed something. So we logged in, and as I logged in according to a username, when I said username, you got the interface based on your...
What your role in school. And whereas the standard works around the class system, the primary works around the idea of one teacher, really, one who has lots of topics or whatever within the class itself. So we go to our fairy tales lesson, obviously, you can see that straight away, the icons and everything else are all geared towards. It's amazing the response we've had from schools to this. Private teachers jump right away. So you can create as many sections as we like. It's all very easy to do. And then we've got these activities that can be locked down with numbers on them. So kids know what they're meant to be doing in what order. Yeah, free form if you like. Study work, different things. Also parents, they're logging on at home with their parent. The parent doesn't need explanations as to what their kids meant to be doing. It's very, very obvious and intuitive. one of the tools I didn't show you on the other side is a multi-content resource, and it allows you to pretty much embed any content you want to create a rich, engaging piece of work. It could be anything from a digital textbook to something you create yourself, like some text and some pictures, and some URLs, embedded YouTube, anything you want into the content which is then pushed out to the students. Too painfully slow here. Oops. There you go. A set of books with icons that students can link to and go to.
Another thing, just as an FYI, that's really cool. So Mark's showing you something that a primary school teacher created that was made by a teacher in Scotland, that particular thing, with a whole bunch of links and stuff. You can copy and paste everything as a teacher, put it on your e-locker. So if you could go to the trouble of creating a multimedia layer and so on, you just say export onto your e-locker and you're done. And I can also then send that to somebody else so they can make use of it as well.
Or if it's a shared e-locker, you create a shared e-locker. It's not a case of the content, the pieces of the content. If I make a folder, I have a folder which has all of my Year 9 science curriculum all mapped out, all the resources made. With one click, I can send it to a shared e-locker. And then everyone in Science Year 9, if that's used for part of the shared e-locker, with one click can bring it in and distribute to all their students preset. So the sharing is, the workflow could not possibly be any slimmer.
What about these students and teachers who are not quite savvy in minimalizing the actual file size, for example, of a picture, and they're going to use a BMP where they could have used a JPEG and gotten down to the actual web tolerant size?
We don't do any converting on the fly per se, because it would look too much like on the server back end. And one of the things we're really conscious of is
educating the teacher.
Yeah, well, but also trying to make it as scalable as possible as well. You know, okay. Because for a single school, it's perhaps not so bad, but when you've got somebody like the State Main or one of our big districts in the UK, we've just signed up. It's got 600 primary schools, and they're all running off one system. So we want to make sure that it can serve it really quickly. Wherever possible, it's a sort of a continuing ongoing thing. But we do a lot of back-end processing for things like if you upload an image, it will generate a thumbnail like that.
Okay.
So at least help speed it up, when you're viewing things like the content of a gallery and stuff like that.
So then if they actually click the thumbnail, then they'd get the big
job. They get the big job. Okay.
Yes, that's the front page, the primary interface. Again, simple text editing page, so any teacher can use Word can go in and create some cool content.
Yeah.
How are you going, Tom?
Sir?
How are you going, Tom?
Good, I want to go see if I can find Russell.
Excellent. I said we'll be here for the whole event right to the end. Everything here is tracked and logged as well. I didn't show you the reporting side.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I already get the feel of what you guys are doing, and I need to brush with you guys. It'd be interesting if you guys could do a discussion with. It wouldn't be a presentation, it would be a discussion.
Yeah, sort of a discussion.
It'd be writing the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Because here it is what he's doing.
Yeah.
So for us, at this point, we can just be external salespeople for you. Whether that'll do any good or not, I don't know. I hope he's got. I'm sorry?
How big is the school?
1,800.
1,800. I thought so.
It's a good size.
We're the biggest school in Beijing.
Yeah, I thought so. You've got a huge campus on the
airport.
Passage. I think so. You didn't have a go to WAP. I did a presentation for someone.
Well,
ISB around 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
We are happy to talk about commission structure.
Oh, so you did it at WAP or what?
I did it at WAP, yeah.
Was it afternoon?
Yes.
Yeah, then that's maybe where I've seen you. Actually, 2 years ago, I did go to WAB for an after-school session. Nick Kwan is... Nick.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Nick, but anyway, he's another IT guy there. And there's a bunch of IT people. Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
You got a card,
Mark?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
There's
a lunch there yet?
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.